Well, good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Tuesday, May 1st. I'm Ray Graff. Writing is the focus of today's program, and joining us once again is novelist and storyteller Barbara Chepitis. She's here to answer your questions about the process of creative writing. You know, Mother's Day is coming, and it can be, frankly, an expensive affair. But if you write a love poem, or if you write something nice, a little story or something, the overhead's lower, and the potential payoff is much bigger. So if you want to start writing, we have some tips for you. Give us a call if you have a question. 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number, 800-348-2551. Writing Today with Barbara Chepitis after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Are you interested in starting a writing project? Do you need help getting published? Well, we'll explore those questions, many others today, as we welcome back Barbara Chepitis. Barbara is an author of 11 published novels, including The Amber and Feeding Christine, each one based on family history. She's also the author of two nonfiction books, Feathers of Hope and Saving Eagle Mitch. She is the founder of the storytelling trio The Snickering Witches and teaches writing and public speaking at St. Rose College. If you have a question for Barbara about writing and the writing process, give us a call, 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551 is the number, or you can email the program at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number, and it's a call-in show. It's 800-348-2551. Barbara Chepitis, welcome back.
Hello, good to be here.
What is new with you?
Let's see. I've got a couple of storytelling gigs coming up. One in the Polish Festival in June.
Yeah, that's coming up.
Yes, and you'll be
back on the show.
I'll be back on the show with food, and I'll be working with my brother on that. He's a musician, and we often work together.
Violinist, yeah.
Yeah, violinist and composer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, jazz guy.
Doing jazz at the Polish Fest.
Probably.
He's Polish jazz. Good stuff. Very swinging.
My mother called what he did gypsy jazz.
Oh, well, that's all right. Great. Nothing wrong with that. Work for Django.
There you go. And I've been working with my management company. I have a film management company, which is kind of an odd and nebulous thing. As is that entire world. And they recently requested that I send out some work for the possibility of doing some staffing for writing for Netflix series.
Well, that's very big with the kids nowadays, the Netflix.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's big with me, too. I kind of
watch it sometimes. My kids watch it more than I do.
I like that there's no commercials, you know.
I like commercials.
Oh, okay. Really?
Yeah. Well, I've been public radio, so I don't get any commercials.
Okay. Right,
so
right. You have to get your commercial fix.
I like to watch late at night for the ambulance chasers, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. So are you writing anything specifically at the moment?
Right now, I'm doing some editing jobs, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, one is a book that a woman wrote on the wife of the Prophet Muhammad, Khadija.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of fascinating and deep.
Let me ask you about editing other people's work as a person who has written for all these years. Do you have trouble putting your style or preconceived notions about how writing should be when you edit somebody else's work?
You know, this is something when I was in grad school, we talked about a lot. Because our teachers were really specific. They assumed we would also be doing some teaching and editing as well as writing. And they said, you have to read everyone for what they're trying to do.
Is that tough?
Not really. No, it's not. Sometimes it's tough to get, if you're working one-on-one with someone, to get them to be able to articulate what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
You know, because sometimes they mistake themselves. You know, they'll say, oh, I want to write something for the general public when it's really very scholarly or vice versa. And what you want to do is find the style they really are best at and help them work best within it.
Now, when you are editing others' work, do you find the occasional author who says, well, you're out of your mind. I want to do it my way.
You know,
I'm sure you may have done that to an editor or two in your time as well.
Only once did I have problems with an editor. And there was something going on, like, politically at that place that had nothing to do with what I was writing.
Yeah.
So it was just utterly confusing. Other than that, I've had my editors are always very respectful to me. And I'm I show the same respect to others.
Yeah.
You know, if they say, this doesn't work for me, I'll say, okay, let's talk about what your options are. If you do this, you'll get that. If you do this, you'll get that. Do you have any other ideas? And it'll become a conversation.
Do you have to be a very accomplished or experienced writer to then edit?
I think you at the least have to be a very experienced reader and a sort of prolific reader, someone who reads in a lot of different places and have a good handle on not just the English language, but on the structure of a work. You know, it's not just at the sentence level. You're looking at issues of structure, what kind of narrative, if it's a narrative, or if it's more of a, you know, recitation of facts, that kind of thing. So you have to have a broad knowledge. But I don't think you necessarily have to be a prolific writer or even a writer. A lot of editors, they go into that field specifically to be editors. Rather than, you know, they don't want to be writers. They don't want to write. They like to edit. They like to polish other people's work. It's, I guess, like people who prefer to paint a car rather than build it, maybe.
Perhaps. You know? That might be apt. Our number here is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. We talk writing today with Barbara Chepitis, who is... you know, she gets around. She'll be at the Polish Fest. When is the Polish Fest?
June, the first weekend in June.
Now, you mentioned prolific reading being one of the keys to anything. How much do you read? In other words, you spend a lot of time writing.
I spend a lot of time writing.
How much time do you have chance to read other people's stuff?
Lately, if someone asks me, have you read this? I'll say, did I write it?
Oh, that's nice.
I was the kind of kid, growing up, I would read. In the summer, I have literally read two books in one day. And I did that for most of my life. And as my, you know, my other professional
obligations.
took hold, I find that I read less than I used to of other people's work. And not only that, but my reading itself has shifted. I tend to read a lot more nonfiction now.
I was going to ask you that.
And a lot more poetry.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Which gets us sort of to one of the talking points you brought us today, which I thought was fabulous. Our number here is 800-348-2551. You brought us the idea of writing for Mother's Day. And then item two was how to write a love poem. And that's... not an easy chore, but let's talk about giving the gift of writing.
I think it's a marvelous thing to do. I have a mother. My mother's, well, she was a little, you can imagine.
And, no, I can't. No, tell.
Well, my mother was a brilliant writer in her own way. She wrote letters to all of us, and I have a collection of her letters at home.
That's a lost art.
And it is, and she was brilliant at it. They were magnificently hilarious. We'd like roll on the floor laughing. She would start a letter sometimes going, "Dear who?" and she would sign her letters, no names, no dates, can't prove a thing. So she was like that. And she was someone who would not accept a bought gift. She would only accept gifts that we made or like we could go out and pick flowers for her.
We call that a cheap date in my neighborhood.
She didn't believe in it. And she didn't necessarily believe in Mother's Day, but she loved it when I wrote things for her, especially if they were funny things and especially if they were about the family. So I remember shortly after my first marriage, I was living away from home, far away, and I sent her a collection of photos from my childhood, and under each one wrote captions about, you know, and they were all sort of making fun of the wedding itself and my raising and everyone in the family and so on and so forth. And she never stopped talking about that. She never stopped, even when she was in the nursing home, that was like her favorite thing ever.
Oh, that's nice.
So, yes.
Barbara Chepitis is our guest today. And, well, I tell you what, the phone lines are loading up here. So let's take at least one here before our first break. And over to Joe in Claverick. Joe, you're on.
Hi, Barbara.
Yes.
Yeah, first of all, I'm enjoying the program and what you're up to. I'm in the process of self-publishing a memoir, which actually has a Polish theme to it, as an aside. But I'm struggling with how to put together a marketing strategy that since I'm self-publishing.
Right.
So any quick tips on that would be appreciated.
You can do a lot of Google searches for places that will help you with that. There are places that do online book tours relatively inexpensively, where you can, they'll set you up to do interviews or little blog posts or whatever on a bunch of different sites. And there's one, I can't remember the name of it offhand, but I'm sure you could find it with a search, that deals primarily in fiction and nonfiction and historical fiction and nonfiction. So if your book has a piece of history in it, that might be a good place to look, right? Because they'll
basically a Google search with basically asking marketing ideas for self-publishing.
Yes,
great.
Yes.
Okay, Joe, thanks a lot for the call. Yeah. You know, you've done a lot of marketing of yourself and your work. Isn't that an unsavory business for an artist?
Oh, yeah. It's a different hat.
Yeah.
Altogether, I tell people, you know, writing is like this beautiful world that you exist in, and it's wonderful, and you get to play in it, and then you have to come out and put your crash helmet on and do your marketing. There's a lot of ways to approach it, but it takes a lot of time, and it is a different energy. So you have to parse it out carefully to make sure it doesn't get obsessive and it doesn't interfere with the actual job of doing the writing.
Barbara Chapitis is our guest. We'll take a quick break here. It's a writer's forum on Vox Pop, 800-348-2551. The number, 800-348-2551. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Ashfield Stone, Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts. Quarriers and fabricators used for enduring landscapes and interiors, including countertops and floor planking. Rare and wonderful native stone of the Berkshires, ashfieldstone.com. Chester Common Table, Main Street, Chester, Massachusetts. Locally sourced comfort food, beers, wines, and cocktails. Live music every Friday, chestercommontable.com. The Black Sheep, downtown Amherst, a New York-style delicatessen and European-style all-butterscratch bakery, caterer, and cafe offering fair trade coffee, blacksheepdeli.com. Coleman Hartman Architects, serving clients throughout New England and New York with architecture designed for resilience and renewability, designed for the next 100 years, cnharchitects.com. And Agricultural Stewardship Association, helping people conserve farmland in the Upper Hudson Valley. We conserve good farmland for good forever. agstewardship.org.
Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop. It is writing today. It is Barbara Chapitis, always a fun guest to have on these airwaves. Our number is 800-348-2551. Or you can email us, voxpop@wamc.org. And Mark did just that. This one says, what do you do when you get writer's block?
You get a hammer.
Really?
And smash it.
You don't believe in writer's block.
I don't. I do not believe in it. I believe in the tooth fairy more than I believe in writer's block. Because I think that often what we call block is a time of gestation when the material is not ready to be written. And you have to work on something else. So if you have a bunch of different stuff you're working on, you just go to something else. If you're finding that you're, if you have a clear sense that you have a psychological block, for instance, I am terrified of editing and getting it wrong, then what you need to do is sit down with a cognitive therapist who actually they have programs for.
Oh, come
just
on.
That.
You're really going to do
serious,
that?
Serious. I know students have done it. It's been quite successful.
I mean, my advice would be get over it. Put something on a piece of paper. Just write.
Yeah. That's the other solution is to just sit down and free write. Don't worry about results. Don't worry about goals. Don't worry about anything. Just write.
Absolutely.
Your hand is tired or your keyboard falls apart.
You know, in my experience, and I don't write. You've seen I can barely read, right? But in music writing, I find that if you have quote unquote writer's block, it is you are lacking the will to do it. That is all it is. Because if you do it every day, you know, they're not all going to be Maseratis.
Yes, exactly. You have to accept that a lot of it is just going to be garbage writing.
Yeah.
And that's the way it is. You have to create a lot of garbage. Someone pointed out once that if you look at the beautiful paintings that come out of the Renaissance, for instance, that time, you also have to be aware of all the ones that are in the back room.
Right.
Right.
Or the ones that never made it
never
through
made
the
it
centuries.
Out there. Yeah.
Barbara Chapitis is our guest. It's writing today on Vox Pop. 800-348-2551 is the number. And Laura in Albany is on. Laura.
Yes, hello. Hi, Barbara. How are you?
I'm okay.
My question is for someone who has always wanted to write and just never gave it a try because other things got in the way. What would be your advice to get started?
Follow the energy. Okay, and I say that to my students all the time. Follow the energy. What do you want to write? Because writing isn't something you do, you know, in a vacuum. It's a form.
Right.
It's a communication. So what is it that you feel moved to write? Do you feel moved to write a letter to a friend? Do you feel moved to write a song for your dog? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel to write a poem for your loved one? So it depends. Do you have a sense of what it is for you that you feel moved to write?
Well, I guess it's evolved over time. You know, first it was an interest in romantic novel type of stuff. Then it became more interest in maybe articles regarding current events, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. If you're at the articles for current events thing, start a blog. That's a really non-threatening way. Yep, it's a non-threatening way to begin.
Okay. All right. Well, that sounds interesting.
Okay.
All right, Laura, thank you.
Don't discount those, you know, songs for the dogs, too.
Have you written? I know you wrote a poem.
Oh, no. My dog writes poems, wrote a bunch of poems for National Ziggy Stardust, my dog.
It's in my desk.
He wrote a beautiful one about the snow. Oh, snow, oh, snow, you was lovely. Now please go. You are so deep, I cannot run. You are so cold, you iced my buns.
Well, that's good.
I cannot find a place to pee that does not freeze my winkle-dee. Oh, snow, oh, snow.
Right. Let's go back to the phones.
I said nothing wrong there.
No, you're fine. 800. Zach, the engineer, is looking a little funny. 800-348-2551, but that's okay. He looks funny most of the time.
Yeah.
Let's go to Ron in Coxsackie. Ron.
Yeah.
You're on.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Hi, Barbara.
Hi.
This is Ron from Columbia County.
Oh, yeah.
I believe that I met you years ago, but at a small college.
Could it have been Columbia Green Community College?
Yes, it was. And I taught biology there. And,
No. Is this really? Are you my old teacher?
My God, it's old home week.
Anatomy and physiology.
Yes.
Wow, and I aced it both times.
You certainly did. Listen,
I'm just going to leave. You guys...
I sent some stuff. I started to write just the flow, you know, thinking about, you know, 80 years of history and trying to put it in some type of form. So I came up with a thing that I'm calling, you know, what is rational, and looking at many, many different topics, but trying to put it in kind of like the vernacular.
Uh-huh.
And my question is, how do you get some kind of evaluation? I mean, it may all be garbage, but and a lot of it is opinion, but it's all based on you know, factual information. My basis was, you know, after all these years, what is it that I know? You know, I didn't want to go into a lot of books. I just wanted to ask myself that question and then write it down.
Okay. So I'm not sure what it is you're looking for. You're looking for someone to evaluate the manuscript?
Yeah, or just, you know, a little bit of it. I sent it off, I don't know if you remember, another individual there by the name of Cliff, who was an English...
Yes, I do remember Cliff.
Yeah. He kind of reviewed it for me, and I just wanted to get another opinion, you know. It's all been, you know, somewhat favorable. But
Is it a book-length work?
Oh, not at this point, no. It's probably about 25,000, 30,000 words at this point.
Okay. There are places that will evaluate for a fee. I do that, too. There are a lot of different places that will sort of help guide you and be writing coach to you if you're looking to expand it as well.
Okay.
There are also, one of the things you can do is send it off for possible publication and hope that you know, even if they reject it, they give you evaluation as part of that
process.
And what
percentage of the time will that happen?
You know what? It happens a lot. And in fact, that's how a lot of new writers get started, is by sending their stuff out, getting wildly rejected, but getting opinions.
Interesting.
On, you know, on the rebound from the people who rejected it. And that helps guide their career. It's not an unusual start. And also, yeah, you want your first readers, your second readers, you want to have as many different people read it as you think match the kind of audience that might like
it. Right. Yes.
All right. And if you want to contact me for particulars, I can, you know, give you
sure.
My
why don't we give your email address out? Go ahead if you want to.
Right now,
sure.
My email address is my last name. It's Chapitis at AOL.
Spell it.
Yeah, I know. Chapitis at AOL.com. That's C.
Okay.
C-A, he knows how to spell my name. He gave me grades.
Oh, fair enough. All right. Well, you can give it to someone else, I suppose.
Yeah.
You want me to give you a grade?
That
would be a turnaround.
Yeah.
All right, Ron, thank you very much for
Thanks
the call.
So much.
Our number is 800-348-2551. Now, you mentioned doing this coaching.
Talk about old times.
Or editing or whatnot. What if, now, presumably, the people who do this sort of thing get paid.
Yes.
The person pays the editor or the coach, mm-hmm. and then the coach says, well, my God, you are awful.
I've done that.
Yeah, okay, so what happens?
It's not awful. It's not, I'm a really optimistic person.
I'm
I've been
sure
teaching
you are.
For a long time. So I have found that it's not a matter of it being awful. It's like, this is where you start. Now, where do you want to go?
Mm.
And this is how, and then I create a plan to help them get there. And that's it.
So
it's that simple.
Okay, because I would think that the act of being paid would tend to make one pull one's punches. And so are you doing a full service?
No, you're doing a full service. In fact, I worked with a woman who, English wasn't her first language. She didn't know how to use a computer. She'd never written a book, and she couldn't type.
Oh, I'm all those things,
right?
Actually.
She had a beautiful use of the spoken language,
mm-hmm.
just incredibly beautiful. So we started out talking and taking notes, and she did some recording of what she said, and then we transcribed that into writing. So there are always ways of making it work.
Okay.
And the task of a good writing coach is to help that happen. If you think going in, if you read a preliminary piece by someone and it's not your kind of work, you know, then you just say no to that person. I don't work with this.
Right.
It's not the kind of work I can do. That's all.
Barbara Chapitis is our guest. Writing is the topic today on Vox Pop, and the number is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. Tim in Utica. Tim, you're on.
Oh, yeah, Ash. How do you, convert from electronic to or old typing to electronic? Or the real question is, how do you amalgamate like loose end stories through your life? Like, you know, this memory here, memory there. How do you connect them?
I'm not sure what you're saying. I'm having a hard time hearing.
Well, I mean, if you're reading something is somewhat like autobiographical, you know.
Right.
You know, all these tidbits of all these thoughts, and how do you connect them? How do you, what's your technique to connect periods of your life with missing periods of your life and all that, you know?
How to connect different...
We've
talked about this before.
Yeah.
You have to have a plan going in, right? You can't just write about everything that's happening.
Yeah. There's a big difference between writing an autobiography and a memoir, okay? What you want to do is start with a piece of your life and write about that particular piece. And it should be something that's meaningful and important to you.
It's written in poetry, though. That's a tougher story.
It's written it's in poetry.
Yeah, it's a tougher.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. You could write a whole series of books that are poems, and you want to find the group them together in from different phases of your life or from different important, meaningful events in your life. So you just need sort of a category head.
Sort of sounds like what I thought in the first place. Okay, that's good.
Okay, good.
Well, thanks, Tim. We appreciate the call. Some noise in the background there.
Yeah, there was noise.
Elves were on hammers making toys for Santa.
It could be that it was the writer's mind working very hard. Sometimes it makes that sound.
That clicking sound?
I hear it at night. I'm telling you.
I'm not surprised. Let's go back to the phones. David and Troy. David, you're on.
Hi, I'm wondering if your poetic dog ever edited any of your work.
He tries. He really tries hard.
I think he's very gifted. He's very straightforward, no extra verbiage, right to the point.
No, he's right to the point. And so once in a while, he will grab a manuscript in his mouth and run around the house with it.
The dog ate my book?
Right. <Yeah.
laughs> All right, this is memoir related. I've written a memoir. It's complete. I did have a professional individual edit some of it, which was an interesting, rude, humbling experience. My writing was so bad, but because that kind of a fresh eye, and suggesting wording and cleaning things up and simplifying, etc. Here's the deal. Some friends recently sort of challenged me about, you know, who are you and who wants to read your stuff? You're not famous. The other thing was that they have certain interests in some of the things I've written about, but not others. So the question is, well, how is someone going to be able to see your book on a bookshelf and pick it up and know that you're writing about A and B and C and D? There is sort of a theme. It covers a lot of material, some very personal, some professional. I was not beaten as a child. I didn't have some terrible, horrible challenges to overcome throughout my life. I've had my problems just like anybody else. But I've had some extraordinary experiences, and they touch upon art and history and travel and the natural world, et cetera. So there is a theme to it, and it just kind of took me back that this challenge, you know, first of all, who wants to read it? And you've got too many different things in there, and someone would not know all of the subject matter you cover. I said, well, you know, that's what the memoir is.
Well, tell me this.
Jacket blurb to alert them as to what the various subject matter is.
Tell me this. I have a question for you.
Please.
What's the title of your memoir?
Do I have to give that away?
No.
Yes, you do.
Yes, okay.
If I'm going to help you.
Someone will grab it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That doesn't happen.
No?
That doesn't happen.
No. It has a subtitle, but the title is Voyages or Journeys.
And the subtitle?
Travels, Adventures, and Observations.
All right. What you need?
I hate to say it. I'm a baby boomer. I don't like that term, but I thought it might
be a little bit of it.
Basically, it's the life I've led. Not terribly extraordinary, but I've had extraordinary experiences along the way in a variety of different ways.
Then I think I'm going to make a suggestion here.
Now you go, Barbara.
I'm going to make a suggestion, and it's free.
Okay.
So take advantage.
I like it.
I think you need to make your title more specific. How they put books on the bookshelf, how they market them, is based a lot on the title, because you're caught here between the artist's yearnings and the need to market, which we all are. You know, the devil in the rock or whatever.
And Deep
Lucy. I say that your title should be Extraordinary Journeys of an Ordinary Man.
Oh, yeah, or A Dull Life Well Lived.
A Dull Life Well Lived. That's even better. Something like that, yes. You know, something that makes it more specific.
Or The Interesting Life of a Dull Person. No,
right.
Yeah,
there
you go.
Yeah, uh-huh.
That'll grab them.
Yeah. Sure. Ordinary people, fascinating moments, you know, something
like that.
By the way,
I do have experience in marketing, and I understand what's involved in self-publishing.
Great.
I'm not trying to write a bestseller here, sell thousands of copies. I just want to put out my story. I think it's worthwhile. Many people have been very positive in response to it, and so if I can make the nut and self-publish and get the money back, that would be delightful.
Yes.
David, thanks a lot.
But this one person, and I'll end here, suggested, well, you've got two or three or four different books there. I said, well, perhaps I could break it down into a couple of books, but
nothing wrong with that.
But there is a
more to sell.
There is a whole to it, and there are connections among the chapters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, hey, good luck, man. We appreciate the call. Our number is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. Barbara Chepitis is our guest. I guess that's a great philosophical question for all those people who have the yearning to write.
Mm-hmm.
And let's face it, I mean, economically, it may not be a cash cow for but 2% of the people who write or less.
Yeah.
Do it for yourself, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think people underestimate the fun and the importance of just writing because it's a blast. Because I can write a poem for my dog. I can write a poem for my mother. I can make a song parody. I can laugh.
Yeah.
I can enjoy myself. I can record a moment. you know.
Barbara Chepitis, our guest. Let's get one more call in here before the next break. 800-348-2551. And we go to Eric in Schenectady. Eric, you're on.
Barbara, Eric Carlson, how are you?
I'm good. Eric, really?
Yeah, really.
The one I know?
No.
You one you know that you haven't seen in many years.
Well, it's like a reunion old show. Yeah, this is
your life, Barbara Chepitis.
Hi, Eric, how you doing? I know, it's a little scary.
I figured I was listening to you reconnect with an old professor, so I figured I'd call the team.
Oh, for Pete's sake. All right.
Anyway, I do have actually a question.
Okay,
I've been working, I guess my life work has been about kindness and compassion.
Yes,
so
it has.
I'm working on a writing project. I'm going to actually be retiring.
Yay.
In a couple of years from Schenectady Community College. Yeah, but I won't be retiring. I'm still doing therapy. But my idea is about kindness, and the title, I think, is called Kindness is the New Cool, A Case for Kindness in the Age of Trump. That's the title, I guess, or maybe I'm working on it. But I just wondered if you think there's any interest in that.
I do.
And compassion and...
Yeah, I do think there's not only a interest in that, but there's a yearning for it. The idea of kindness being civility, even being something we've forgotten. I think any reminder we have of that now is a good thing, and I think it's of great interest. Mm. I've seen a lot lately online about the ways to practice kindness. Right. And there's a poet I particularly recommend who writes about it a lot, Joy Harjo, if you want to use her as a reference in anything. And so, yes, I would go for it. But what I would do is I'd go for it quickly. I wouldn't delay till you retire.
Yeah.
Do it now. Now is when we need it.
Eric, we have to take a break here, and thank you for the call. Our number is 800-348-2551. Barbara Chepitis is here. And believe it or not, the home stretch of the program is straight ahead.
Support for WAMC comes from Curtis Lumber, featuring Great American Kitchen, Wellborn Cabinets, and Cambria Quartz Countertops. 100% American-made products by American workers. Sold locally by Curtis Lumber, curtislumber.com. Veterinary Hospital of Laura Lynn Brown, Turner's Falls, Massachusetts. Providing comprehensive care for dogs and cats for over 25 years. New clients welcome. drlauralynnbrown.com. Vermont Coffee Company, offering slow-roasted organic coffee in the brown paper bag at local grocery stores. Vermont Coffee Company, coffee roasted for friends. Stavros, helping people with disabilities achieve their dreams. Offices in Amherst, Greenfield, and Springfield. Stavros.org for more information. And Hooked Seafood Company, Latham. Fresh seafood, retail market, and kitchen with scratch-made lunch and dinner menu, raw bar, lobster rolls, whole belly clams, fish and chips available. HookedSeafoodINC.com.
You like the Joe Pass on the guitar? He's good. He was good, wasn't he? He was great. It's Vox Pop. It is Writing Forum today, and we have Barbara Chepitis here, always a fabulous guest on this program. The number is 800-348-2551, and several people have called, wanted your full email address. You better spell the name and give us the email address.
Okay. It's chepitis@AOL.com. Chepitis is spelled C-H-E-P as in pasta, A-I-T as in trouble, I-S as in snake.
Chepitis@AOL.com. It's AI. Shouldn't it be Chepitis?
It's Lithuanian.
No. Well, you say Chepitis, and I say Chepitis.
Rhymes with all inflammatory diseases.
Right, indeed it does.
Arthritis.
I think we've been through that.
Yes,
that
hepatitis.
800-348-2551 is the number, and we'll get back to the phones in a minute. Your doggy has a social media presence.
He has a page.
Amazing.
Ziggy and Friends. That's what that little umlaut, whatever that thing is, ampersand. Ziggy and Friends. And you can, for those who enjoyed his poem today, you can read a bunch of his poems.
Yeah, the one about poop is especially
good. Yes, it's especially fragrant. Good, yes.
Okay, so let's back to the phones. We go here. And Elizabeth in Goshen, I believe, you're on.
Hi. I have a couple drafts of children's books written and many ideas. And I'm just wondering some general advice on where to go from here.
There are a couple of children's book organizations that can be very helpful. I believe they have names like, you know, the National Children's Book Authors Association. You can find them online. You can check with your library if you're having any trouble finding them, because I'm guessing they would know what's what in that realm. I think that's your best bet, is to start there, and from there you can search out, you know, they'll have indications of who are good publishers, how you work within that world professionally to seek a publisher. Another place you can go is one of the places I always send people to. It's a place called agentquery.com, which will lists agents as well as publishers by category. So you can do a search on agents who are specifically looking for children's books, and you can start sending out letters to them on what you have, and they'll give you feedback for sure. How's that?
Okay, great. Thanks.
Sure.
Thanks, Elizabeth. And speaking of children's books, Barbara, and I'm asking this for a buddy of mine who is one of the greatest people in the whole wide world. He's been on this program many times. I won't mention his name, but he has written an incredible children's book. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is completely unlike most children's books. It's more like a parable. It's for Christmas time. Okay. Anyway, he's looking for an illustrator. And how do you how do you go about finding an illustrator?
You know, it used to be that the publishing houses had their own illustrators. I'm not sure if that's still true. It may be it may vary from house to house what they have. And the writer just sent in the manuscript.
Yeah.
If you were an illustrator looking for a job with a publisher, it was a whole different kind of route to get there. So I think that he can try that. If he's not going to do self-publishing, you might as well go to the publisher and see if they have their own illustrator they're working with. If this person wants to work with an illustrator, then I'm sure there are organizations of children's
books illustrators.
That's
what he's looking for. And I got to tell you, I think that this might be beyond self-publishing. It's really good stuff.
Then he should try publishers then.
Yeah.
Just go to publishers. Send out the manuscript to agents or publishers
of
children's books and see what they say.
I hope he's listening.
Might as well do that at the same time. Might as well pursue all tracks at once, because these people take forever to get back to you.
Okay.
Quite frankly.
Barbara Chapitis is our guest, and the number is 800-348-2551. Let's go over to Nancy in Clifton Park. Nancy, you're on.
Hi. I'm calling about my daughter. She right now is 17, and when she was about 15, she wrote a book.
Aww.
Of course, this is my daughter, and I think it's a fantastic book.
Yeah.
She's very smart, and her description, she wrote it, of course, it's for teenagers, and her descriptions of what she's, what's in, it's about teenagers in a, they are going, it's very timely because it's, well, not timeless, but timely because it's about children in therapy sessions.
Oh, fun. Well, not fun, but
and
I know what you mean.
About, right. It's a group of about five teenagers that go to therapy together.
Mm.
They don't see each other outside of therapy, but they bring all their problems there and they discuss them. And
sort of like the Breakfast Club without the breakfast.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it's, she hadn't even seen the Breakfast Club at that time. The kids all see it now because it's very, it's a meme nowadays. So all the kids know about the Breakfast Club. But the way she writes is just, it's beautiful. I mean, the descriptions are just extraordinary.
That's great. Is she looking to get it published or not?
Of course she doesn't think it's any good, but she's a kid. I think she should.
Okay.
You were talking to somebody about getting, going on agentquery.com.
Agentquery.com, and that's where you would find out appropriate agents for that kind of work. Also, publishers who read work without it being represented by an agent. So do a good search on that.
I think we've got to go. I don't think this is a self-publishing type of book. It won't reach the audience that it needs, and I think she's an excellent writer.
Yeah.
I think it should go out.
Give it a
out.
Shot. And here's some advice, too. My son is also a writer, so it's a very delicate thing when our children engage in these kinds of activities.
Yeah.
My advice is to, you can look into it for her, but ultimately she has to want it.
Mm.
Okay, just keep that in
mind. Well, she sat down and she just started writing this book. And, of course, we had to clean up a lot of the language because being 15, you know,
right,
she's 17 now.
If it's her path, it will not leave her alone.
Okay. All right, Nancy, thanks a lot and good luck. We appreciate the call. 800-348-2551. When you're dealing with, in your course of your teaching young writers, do you find that they often have a inflated version of self-worth? They think they're better than they are?
Wow, it varies really wildly. I've had a couple that think that. I have most of them think less of themselves than they should. Quite honestly.
So self-loathing is a key to good writing?
Self-loathing is a key to writing, being a writer.
Interesting.
Explains a lot.
Yes, indeed. Let's go back to Anthony. Anthony's not pleased. You gave your email address too quickly. Anthony, are you there in Cooperstown?
Oh.
They are here.
Okay, so let's go very slowly with the email.
Okay.
Here we go.
Chepitis at AOL.com. I will spell it.
Here we go.
C. H.
Yep.
E. P is in pasta. A. I. T as in trouble. I. S as in snake.
Great. I was not even close trying to follow you last time.
You got it now? All right, Anthony, thanks a lot for the call. All right, over to Miriam and Troy. Miriam.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Oh, I wish I had heard this information before I self-published my memoir. I would have self-published, but the marketing is a shock, as you say, quite
yes,
a bit
is.
Different from writing it. And I got some feedback on a review in Amazon that said that this might be a good, hallmark. Oh, my title is Suddenly Single, A Life After Death.
Mm.
So they said they saw this as a hallmark TV program.
Okay.
Or something on the women's channel because, you know, it's a widow story, but rather atypical if there, I don't know if there are any bunch of widows who are the same anyway. But this is my tragicomedy. And do you know anything about, I mean, I've never even begun to write anything like a screenplay, should I? Are there people that I could sell it to do a screenplay?
It's kind of difficult to sell just the concept unless you're a known name, you know,
yes.
And have an agent who's out there kind of pushing it for you. You can try and sell a completed script on your own or seek a script agent or management with that script. Mm. But then first you would have to learn how to play with that form. It's really different than writing prose.
Yeah, I do have a book.
Okay.
And it's rather daunting, but very specific.
You're in Troy, so you're very close to, there's a group called Upstate Independent Filmmakers.
Oh.
And they're local. They meet local. They meet here at the Linda, in fact. And they might have people who can guide you more in that or give you better resources for that. There are lots of places you can take lessons online and learn about it online through a lot of different groups.
Right, right.
As well.
Online. And I find myself paying money to go to Writers Guild workshops.
Yep, there are a lot of workshops on screenwriting. You absolutely can find those. And they're well worth it. I've done both. And when I transitioned from novels to screenwriting, it was my husband who helped me. He had a great deal of experience in it. And he had to hit me on the head with a hammer a lot of times. So you're writing like a novelist.
Okay, not really, though.
Well, you know, okay. Not.
Well, dialogue is something
that's
very effective, right?
Yes, but it's really a whole different way of viewing the way the information is portrayed.
Okay.
So you want some good guidance on that.
All right, Miriam, thanks a lot for the call. You've done this, though.
Yes,
yeah?
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
so
I've got a ton of scripts.
You're good at it?
I think so. I like me.
All right.
Oh, there goes that self-loathing thing.
Yeah,
that means I'm not a writer anymore.
Well, you know, there's plenty of time to hate yourself. That's one of my mottos. Melinda in Niskayuna. Melinda, you're on.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Lots of great information as is always the case with Barbara. She just has such a vast array of sources and contacts. Thank you for that. And, you know, you may be missing the boat with Barbara because she's also an excellent cook and chef.
Oh, really?
And
well, I know. She brings stuff from time to time.
Yeah.
What do you want her on every day?
You know what?
Wouldn't be a bad idea.
I'm going to be on Foodie Fridays in June for the Polish Fest, and I'm going to bring in some food I did last
year. That's fun.
He loved the bacon, sour cream, and mushroom thing.
Yes. I'll tell you, the Polish show's a good one. Yeah, that's fun.
There you go.
All right, well, that's all you have, Melinda?
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And how much did you pay Melinda?
Not too much. I'm going to catch up with her later.
All right, let's go to Alexander in Hudson, New York. Alexander, you're on.
Hi. I was just listening and heard you talking about the children's books a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're probably aware of it, but I just wanted to let Ray know, maybe to tell his friend that there's this big, wonderful children's book festival in Hudson this Saturday.
Oh, really? That's right. Yes. Oh.
At the Hudson High School. And this year is their 10th anniversary.
Cool.
And it's going to be an exciting one because there's some pretty notable children's book authors there, like Kwame Alexander and Jason Reynolds. So, and they'll be there. You can meet them.
I'm so glad you called about that. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, Alexander.
Yeah, they're doing some great things like that in Hudson, around literature and all kinds of arts stuff.
I mean, most children's books, the good ones are very good, but like any books, bad ones are pretty horrible.
Yeah.
Quickly here, some points that you brought up. We only have a couple of minutes here. We wanted to talk about warming up for writing.
Yes.
Well, what do you mean warming up for writing?
I know. I did this. I did an exercise with my students recently about writing love poems. First thing I had them do was write it's called like the 50 words for snow exercise, where you take all the words that are about sound that you can think of, and you just, in 2 minutes, write down all that you can think of.
About snow.
Sound.
The sound that snow makes.
Nope, it's not about snow. Get snow out of your mind.
I thought you just said snow.
I know, I did,
oh, it's
and that
sound.
Was my mistake.
Okay, all right.
That's sort of the generic term for it, is the 50 words for snow exercise.
I see.
But you can apply it to anything.
Okay, so we'll talk about sound.
So we're applying it to sound.
Okay.
And you just write down all the sound words you can think of, bang, bump, cheer, yell, whatever. And then you do the same thing with texture words. Smooth, rough, whatever.
Right.
And you do the same things with motion words.
Yeah.
And you do some of that. You just go on doing that. And it's amazing what just even warming up with that does to allow you to write more. What I do then when we're writing love poetry, and you can apply this again to any kind of writing, is you take and you circle two or three words from each list that remind you of that thing. If it's love, if it's hate, whatever it is you're writing about.
Yeah.
And then you write food, a list of foods that remind you of that thing.
Really?
Really. And then you write an event that occurred around that particular emotion, love, hate, whatever it is.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
It's a lot of warming up. The day is done by the time you're done warming up.
It took about 25 minutes. They wrote the most beautiful stuff.
Really?
Yeah, and the most varied stuff. The main part of it was that when they finished with the love poem, they were not allowed to use the word love.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is just a way to instill some sort of a discipline, I would think.
It's not a discipline so much as it. It's like when you're warming up to play an instrument, you got to move your fingers around, right? And get them all sort of, get those neurons all connected, that body memory going.
Yeah.
This is getting that going in your verbal memory. It's getting your verbal memory sparked.
Now,
setting up those networks so that all those words are available.
When you now jump ahead 30 years in your career, do you still have to do that?
I do sometimes, yes. I do warm-ups, absolutely. I do it for storytelling, too. You know what? I'm a big believer in that. When they say, you know, we talked about writer's block at the beginning, people often, when they say that, what they're having problems with is entering the space.
Yeah.
They can't get into the space of writing. And warm-ups are an excellent way to do that.
Well, you know, we started talking about warm-ups at the end of the program, which is counterintuitive.
Yep.
But Barbara, thank you for being here. You're back in, when is the Polish Fest?
The first weekend in June.
So we'll see you then.
Yes, with food.
Well, thank you so much for being here. Support comes from Amherst Copy on Design Works, offering printing and copying, sign making and design services from booklets to stationery and labels to lawn signs in downtown Amherst, Massachusetts. AmherstCopy.com. Windhorse Naturopathic Clinic, Brattleboro, Vermont, offering naturopathic medicine, oxidative medicine, colon hydrotherapy, and acupuncture, specializing in Lyme disease, now accepting new primary care patients, windhorsenaturopathic.com. Adirondack Aquatic Center, Malta, New York, a planned aquatic facility where children and adults with varying abilities in the region can learn, heal, play, exercise, train, and compete, adirondackaquaticcenter.org. And Kent Hicks Construction, specializing in deep energy retrofits, passive house, zero energy homes, and historic restorations, serving the Berkshires, Pioneer Valley, and all of Western Massachusetts for over 25 years, KentHicksConstruction.com. Thanks again to Barbara Chapitis for being here. Thank you for listening and for the great calls today. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Susie Chekai handled the phones. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, kind of a switch of subjects, Ian Cowan will be here to answer all your plumbing issues. Right now, stand by for news.